had text Levi today and said he wasn't going to be here tonight due to work, and I began to pray. It's been a long time since I've preached to our young people, and I'm going to preach to them a little bit tonight, Lord willing. And but listen, don't turn me off if you're not a young people. Amen. If the Bible applies to them, it will also apply to you. Amen. Now, I want to look at Luke 15, the story about the prodigal son. But I want to look tonight not at the prodigal, but I want to look at that brother who stayed behind. I want to look at that brother who stayed behind. Thank God for kids that don't leave. Amen. Thank God for kids that do right and don't leave. Now some people bash the older brother. And some people take up for him. It's a two-sided coin. He did stay faithful and he did stay home with mom and dad. But when his little brother came home, he did have the wrong attitude. Would you agree? He had the wrong attitude. Listen, I want to pick up in verse number 25. How many of y'all familiar with this story, the prodigal son? I don't have to rehearse the whole thing. All right, I'm just going to pick up in verse number 25. This guy's younger brother who had took his inheritance and went and wasted it in a far country partying. And when he came home, his father forgave him and put a robe on him and ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And the older brother wasn't there. And now look at verse number 25. He said, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And the Bible said, look at verse number 28. And he was, say it with me, angry. He was mad that his little brother came home and that his father received him. And would not go in, therefore came his father out and entreated him. How many of you have ever gotten mad because you didn't feel like somebody got what they deserve? Amen. I can understand where he's coming from. He's had to watch mom and daddy cry. He's had to see everything they're going through. But yet still, he should have been overjoyed himself. That his brother was not dead, that he was safe and sound. Verse 29, the Bible said, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. I want to talk to you tonight just for a few minutes about wasted time. Wasted time. Or what the prodigal's brother missed by not being there. What he missed by not being there. I guarantee you, if I had every adult stand in this room tonight and give their testimony, somewhere in that testimony, they would tell you they regret not giving their lives to God when they were a teenager. Amen. One of my greatest regrets in my life. I sat under some of the greatest preaching in America as a teenager and let it go right over my head or in one ear and out the other. My mind was somewhere else. My thoughts were somewhere else. My desires were somewhere else. Oh, I'd give anything if I'd have just gave it to God when I was a kid. Amen. Everybody will stand up and testify. How many of you wasted years? Come on, talk to me. Some of you are wasting them now. Some of you are wasting them now. You're in church, but you're still just wasting time. You keep in the back of your mind, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Well, these days are clicking by. I cannot believe we are approaching the end of February already. This year is going to go by in a hurry. If we're not careful, we ought to make good use of our time. Young people, listen to me carefully. You only get to be a teenager one time. One time. I remember when I was a teenage boy, my mind was obsessed with one thing. Girls. Man, that's all I thought about was girls. Girls, 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 girls. Say amen right there, men. Don't be afraid your wife's going to elbow you in the ribs. You're the same way, unless you're a funny guy. Amen. Unless you're a little limp-wristed there. Hey, that's all we thought about was girls. Hey, listen, thank God for that. Boys, I'm glad you like girls. Yeah. Amen. When you don't like girls at 15, I'm getting worried. Time to say amen right there. Amen. I want you to like girls, but that should not be the number one thing in your life. Some of you are saved, or most all of you are saved, and you've got relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend way up here, and then God's coming down here somewhere. You've got boyfriend, girlfriend here, and the hip hop and the pop music right there, and you got all that junk piled up, and God's way down here somewhere, and you're wasting your teenage life, and you will never, ever, ever get it back. Not ever. Man, you get to be 15 one time. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was preaching to thousands when he was 16 years old. Pastored the great Metropolitan Tabernacle when he was 16 years old. He wasn't just preaching there. I said he was pastoring there. You don't got to wait till you get our age to do something for God. You can do something for God right now. How old were y'all when y'all started working on the bus? Were you 19? Who's the youngest? How old were you? 17 years old. They started running their own bus route. At seven, it's not many 17-year-olds that I'd turn a bus route over to. But that bunch right there has proven their self all their lives. Thank God they'll never have to look back and say, boy, I wished I had that opportunity again. I wish I could go back. Boy, they'll be able to look their children in the face and say, when I was your age, I was working a bus route. Yeah. Hallelujah. When I was your age, I was doing this for God, or I was doing that for God. Hey, I want to tell you, I want to beg you tonight, don't miss out. Yeah. Don't miss out by wasting your time. Some of us as adults are wasting our time. Amen. Man, I've got things in the back of my mind that I've been going to do. I know that ain't good English, but I got things in the back of my mind that I've been going to do and I ain't got done yet. How about y'all? One of them ain't got around to it kind of things. One of these days I'm going to do this. One of these days I'm going to do that. And boy, them days just keep clicking off and clicking off. And I promise you, you can't imagine it even in your mind right now. But one of these days you're going to wake up and there's going to be gray hair in your head and you're going to be 50 years old. And all that time is just gone. It's just gone, man. You don't ever get to go back and do that again. I'd give anything. Some of the mistakes I made as a teenager, I can't undo them. Defiling my body and the things, the sin that I got involved in. Well, I'd rather, what if I had Levi's testimony? What if I had Levi's? He ain't never ran from the law that I know of. Stacy Bullock and Terry Fennell got him down there at the deer club one night. They camped out down there, and I was out of town preaching, and Stacy and Terry started telling him all kind of stories about me. I could have killed them both. And what was sad was they were true. I got home, Levi called me. He said, did you do such and such one time? And I'm like, yeah. Did you do this also? Yeah. He was blown away, man, because he never knew that daddy. He never knew that guy. But I'm glad ain't nobody going to sit around a campfire and tell about the wickedness he was involved in and the many nights he laid drunk and puking all over himself. I'm glad ain't nobody going to have that story about him. Why? Because he did not waste his teenage years. He gave them to God. I'm urging you tonight, give it to God. Amen. Some of you need this message desperately tonight. You need to throw up. You've been fighting with God. You've been running from God. Hey, you just need to throw up your hands tonight and say, okay, God, I get it. You don't want me 5 years from now. You want me now. Look here what this prodigal's brother, what he missed because of his anger. He missed his brother's repentance. He missed his brother's repentance. You know, I've got a good idea. He didn't even go in and see his brother. The Bible said that he would not go in. He didn't even go in and see his brother, Brother William. That'd be like Tony being gone for a long time and being out in sin and coming back and your mama rejoicing because Tony came back home and you got mad and wouldn't even go in and see your own brother who you labored with and worked with side by side. All, and that was his attitude. Man, he wouldn't even go in. It would have been good if he could have seen the repentant spirit of his brother. But he missed that because, I'm telling you, teenagers, you're missing some things. He missed that because of his anger. Listen, a lot of us have missed many blessings because of a wrong attitude. Because of a wrong attitude, we miss a lot of blessings. Hey, you young people are faithful, and I thank God for you. But you miss a lot of blessings at church because you got the wrong attitude. People are down here in this altar getting saved and born again. Marriages are being put back together. God is changing lives. We're baptizing them by the dozens up here in the baptistry. And you sit there with your arms crossed like, no big deal. Amen. It is a big deal. And hallelujah, you need to be part of it. This is your church too. It's not just Brother Eddie and Brother William and Brother Warren and Brother Tommy and Freddie and Brother Charles. It's not just our church. It's your church. Amen. You take some ownership in this thing. I know you're going to three great youth meetings and I want you to get on fire for God, but you ain't got to wait till then. You can sell out to God right here tonight. Grown-ups, are you okay with this? I'm preaching to our kids a little bit tonight. Amen. He missed his brother's repentance because he had the wrong attitude. We got too much pride, man. Hey, it should make your girlfriend proud to see you weep in church. Amen. Hey, girls, I wouldn't have a boy that wouldn't go to the altar. If he won't go to the altar and pray when the Holy Spirit convicts his heart, drop him like a hot rock. I got two words for you to give him. Call him up on the phone or text him. I just do it in the text. Drop dead. Put him on a tweeter and drop dead. Amen. Y'all okay? Hey, you want to get involved with a young man that one day is going to lead your family toward God and not away from God. That attitude of pride builds up in us and we sit there, well, I ain't going to the altar. I'm afraid what so-and-so think. I wouldn't give a rip what nobody thought. Get in tonight. We have youth rally right here tonight. Get in. Man, the blessings we miss because of an attitude. Because of an attitude. Families kill me. They're going to have a Christmas get-together and they got to call and say, is so-and-so going to be there? That's ridiculous, man. If you're a Christian and that's your attitude, that's sin and it's wicked. I'm not going to miss seeing my babies get their Christmas gifts, my grandbabies, and see the joy and all the happiness and because I'm at odds with somebody in my family. What an attitude. Well, I'm not going to come, but she's coming. You're wicked. Amen. Like teenagers, we'll put it on them for a minute. Well, got quiet. That's bad, man. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. Man, what all have you done? Man, we need to check our attitudes from time to time. I hear parents talk to teenagers all the time about their attitude. What about grown-ups and their attitude? We are missing blessings because of our attitude. Hey, man. We're missing blessings because we're involved in the wrong. Not only we got a bad attitude, but we get involved in bad activities. Bad activities. There are things that are sin that we get involved in, and they keep us away from the blessings of God. They make us miss a lot of things. I wonder how many of you of adults say, I missed a whole lot because of sin. Every one of us missed a whole lot because of sin. I remember, y'all ain't going to believe this, but I remember me and Tim Noble sitting in church and selling pot to Colin Godfrey in church. Mama just now finding that out, ain't she? Statue of limitations has passed, amen. I ain't getting no whooping. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, that's wicked as all get out. Are you listening? That's wicked, man. You say, well, who was preaching? I ain't got a clue. Come on, brother. I missed it. Amen. I missed it because of sin. Amen. When I was at church, it was to flirt with a girl or to see my girlfriend. I missed everything God had. We get caught up in the wrong activities. There are activities that are sin, but then there's other activities there's nothing wrong with if done in the right manner and at the right time. Y'all boys, listen to me real good. Sunday morning is not deer stand time. Amen. I love to hunt. My motto, you know it. If it's brown, it's down. I love to fish. If it swims, it's frying. Amen. Whatever. I love to hunt, and I love to fish, and I love the outdoors, and I love the horses. But hey, I'm not riding horses on Sunday, and you ain't either. I'll whoop you. Are y'all listening? Nothing wrong with those activities. What's wrong with those activities when they get bigger than God in our life? When our hobbies and our sports and all those things, when it gets to where they take place of God and they start pulling us away from God. Listen, I love to play ball. Our church is big enough now. Me and Brother BJ and Brother Johnny Cash, we're going to talk about it. We're going to start us a softball league. I think it'd be fun, man. We've got enough people that we don't have to play other churches. Amen. Because I'm telling you, I've been in several church softball leagues back years ago, and they're just as wicked. They're probably worse. I've seen umpires get cussed out on the ball field by church leagues. But we got enough, we can start our own. But I'm telling you what my problem is with sports. When sports starts taking our kids out of church on Wednesday night. When they're on the ball field instead of patch club. Amen. When our hobbies get bigger than God, we've got a problem. We're going to miss some blessings. Man, I'll be honest with you. It grieved me. I knew for a fact I was supposed to be in Dillon, Montana Sunday morning. But yet it grieved me that I wasn't here. I'm afraid to miss this place. I'm afraid to miss, man, everything God's doing around here. It is unreal, man. And you're just missing it. Understand if you got sickness or once a year you take a vacation or something of that nature. Hey, but man, you ought to be here. Don't let your activities cause you to miss the blessings of God. Amen. I'm glad I didn't miss that service in Montana Sunday morning. Man, there is 30 young men and women, it's boys and girls, going to heaven, man. And them kids sat around that lunch table with me and started sharing their lives and why they were there. And brother, it broke my heart. This one little girl, she said, "Preacher, would you pray for me?" I said, "I sure will, hon." She said, I "when I get out of here," she said, "my problem is I don't have anywhere to go." 16 years old. Precious little girl, ain't got nowhere. Man, you ought to thank God you've got a home to go to. You're a teenager sitting in here tonight, and you got mama at home and daddy at home, and you got a warm bed to get in. Man, you ought to be so grateful that you'd fall on your face and say, "Thank you, God." We miss the blessings of God because of the wrong attitude, and we miss the blessings of God for the wrong activities, or maybe just getting our priorities out of whack. Maybe we could just put them back in check tonight and say, "Okay, God, I'm going to move you from here back to here where you're supposed to be." And watch how much fun you start having. Watch how much fun you start having. There's a young man who basically grew up in our church. He's out of church now. But he went through a divorce very young and started doing drugs and wound up in my driveway one day crying like a baby. And I put my finger in his face, and I said, "I want you to be real honest with me and tell me something." He said, "I'll tell you anything, preacher." He'd already confessed so much crazy stuff. He said, "I'll tell you anything. I got nothing to hide." I said, "All I want to know was, when were you the happiest?" He said, "I don't even have to think about it." He said, "When I was in church, when I was witnessing to my friends, when I was singing in that youth choir," he said, "it's the happiest I've ever been in my life." I said, "You got to realize something. It didn't go anywhere. Amen. You did. You did. You did." A lady told me she was upset and mad because she got out of church and I didn't come see her. There's a bunch of them I don't chase. My response was, "You know where I am." Amen. You know where I'm at every Sunday. I shouldn't have to wonder where you are every Sunday. Yeah. Amen. Don't let your activities. Listen, man, springtime's coming, and I just got a picture from a friend of mine. I ain't even going to say his name because this is top secret in the vault locked up. A friend of mine just sent me a picture of a bass they caught out of his lake, 13 pounds, and it's full of them. Them massive boy up there slobber running down his back. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love to fish, man. But not on Sunday. Amen. Not on Sunday. Not when I ought to be doing something for God. Amen. Don't let those activities get out of whack, man. He missed the brother's repentance because he had the wrong attitude. He let his activities get him out of shape. And he missed the blessing simply because he was absent. He wasn't there. Have you ever missed church and run into somebody who was there? And they go, oh, man, you missed it. You missed it. I used to rub it in Chris's face every Monday when he was going to that other church. I was like, man, you ain't got a clue. And he said, oh, man, that's great. I said, no, you just don't know. You got to be there. It's one of the things, you know, I could tell you how good. We went to Pizza Hut the other night, after Sunday night after church, and they got a new pizza called Hot and Twisted. That's my wife's new nickname, by the way. It's called Hot and Twisted. Brother, you talk about good. It's got pepperonis that big around and jalapeno peppers. Woo! I can stand up here all night and tell you how good that is. But until you've put that in your mouth, you ain't got a clue. That's like trying to tell somebody how good salvation is. And if they hadn't experienced for themselves, they can, hey, it ain't, I get the CD. It ain't on the CD. Oh, you can get a blessing out of it. I promise you, the glory that goes on in this place on Sunday morning, it ain't on a CD. And that's one of them things, you just have to be there. Amen? Amen. I worry about you when you're absent and what you're missing. What you're missing. God has set this thing up. We come to church. This is not what we're doing for God. This is what God's doing for us. God can change your life outside of church. No doubt about it. But this is his main number one tool to work on you. Where would you be, think about it right now, where would you be or could you be had you been faithful? Where could you be today? Where would you be today if you'd have just surrendered when God said, I want you, I want your life? There's no telling, no telling. Listen, enough time's been wasted. Enough time's been lost that you'll never get it back. But I'd get back where I was supposed to be. He missed his brother's repentance. Not only that, he missed his brother's request. He missed his brother's request. Now here, listen carefully. This is all he's heard because he wasn't there. All he knows is the son came home and the son got a robe, a ring, and shoes, and a party, and a steak. That's all he knows. He did not see his brother's spirit. He didn't hear the words, make me as a hired servant. He didn't see that. He missed that. He needed to see that. I can tell you about people getting saved, but until you sit on the pew and see it, man, it's two different things. I can tell you about them two boys sitting on either side of that pulpit and tears begin rolling down their face. But man, if you can just saw that. I tell that story to somebody that don't go to our church or somewhere else, and they probably say, they probably didn't all get saved. They probably didn't. You weren't there. And I'm not fussing at you for not being in Montana, but you understand what I'm saying. He missed seeing his brother's attitude. His brother came home with the right spirit. He didn't come home and say, Daddy, can I have my old room back? Sorry, I messed up. Let's eat. He said, I've sinned against heaven. And in thy sight, it am no more worthy to even be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Make me a slave. That's what his request was. But he missed that. He missed his brother's request. The boy wasn't trying to come home with a high priority. He had the right spirit. Listen, he missed his brother's repentance. He missed his brother's request. He missed his father's reception. He missed his father's reception. You know, I've got an idea that if he had been there, Levi, and he had saw his daddy fly off that porch and run down that road and fall on that boy's neck and kiss him, he might have had a little different attitude. Amen. He might have had a little attitude. Might have had a little different attitude if he had saw his father run and if he had saw his father receive that boy in his arms. If he had saw his father removed from all doubt that he loved him. He might have had a little different attitude, but he missed it. He missed it. All because of a bad attitude. He missed his brother's repentance. He missed his request. He missed the father's reception. Listen, he missed the robe. He missed seeing that father put that robe on him. It would have done that older brother good to see the condition that his little brother came home in. It would have done him good to see why that father put that robe on him. The reason that father put that robe on him was to cover up what was on him. That's just like when we get saved, we get robed in the righteous blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to cover up the mess that we're in. He might have, if he'd have been standing there, he might have said, somebody get something put on my little brother. He didn't see that. He missed it. He missed it. What are you missing tonight? What are you missing tonight? It would have done him well to have seen his brother's remorse. It would have done him good to see his brother was truly sorry. He didn't come back the punk, arrogant kid that he left. He come back a broken young man. You say, well, what's this got to do with me? What are you missing? What are you missing? I wonder if your attitude would be different if you weren't missing some things. He missed the ring and the shoes and the honesty and the uprightness of the whole ordeal. That ring was an emblem of that family's love for that son. It signified him as a son. He missed that. He missed that. Man, I think about, boy, I was thinking about this all day long. Man, what have I missed? What have I missed? 50 years old, man, the clock's a ticking. Amen, brother. He said, well, I'm just a teenager. I got plenty of time. Really? You sure? Come on, preacher. You got a crystal ball?
That's right.
You call a psychic hotline? How do you know you've got plenty of time?
Right.
What is your life? It's a vapor that appeareth for a little while and is gone.
Amen.
Do you know how many people we've buried in the last few months under the age of 50? Y'all listening to me? You could be next. Listen, it's by the grace of God that as a teenage boy, I wasn't wrapped around a pine tree somewhere. Well, actually, I was wrapped around a pine tree. It's by the grace of God I lived through it. I was wrapped around pine trees. I got wrapped around a dump truck. I got wrapped around a chain link fence in a man's front yard. I got, I don't know what all else. I wrecked everything Mama ever had. Hey, there were several of those wrecks. I should have died.
Amen.
Mama made me go to church one Sunday. I said, I ain't going. She said, what if I let you go where you want to go? Will you go? I said, yes, ma'am. If I can go to Brother Jay's, I'll go. I left Brother Jay's. It was coming a sleet and storm. I run off the road, hit a pine tree. I went completely through the windshield. I was laying on the hood of the car. Walked away. Didn't even spend a night in the hospital. You know what that was? That was God.
Amen.
That was God saying, I got plans for him, and he's wasting it.
Amen.
I've got plans for this boy, and he's wasting it. God's got plans for you, and you, and you, and you, and you.
Amen.
What I'm telling you tonight is don't waste your youth. Don't waste your youth.
Amen.
Don't waste your youth. Listen, he missed his brother's repentance. He missed his brother's request. He missed his reception. He missed the robe. He missed the ring. But watch this. He missed the reception of his brother. He missed the family. He missed the family. Listen, nobody was mad but him. Nobody was mad but him. Everybody was so happy he could hear the party. He missed that. He missed that. All but one family. He missed the friends. He missed the food. He missed the whole thing. Lastly, and I'm done, he missed the rejoicing. He missed the meal. He missed the meaning. And he missed the merriment of his friends and his family. Why? Because he had an attitude. Because he had an attitude. I know people who sit in church and you hear the preaching and you hear the singing, but it goes... I know some people who are members of this church. They're still in this church, but they're out of church.
Amen.
I think you get out of church a long time before you get out of church.
Amen.
Amen. I think you leave long before. I've seen faces week after week after week where the light has gone out.
Amen.
Where there used to be light. I wish I could round up every teenager. Stephen, Bo, I wish I could find every teenager that has stood, Aaron, in this choir up here. Every teenage boy that has stood up here and testified and bragged on God. And we don't know where they are tonight. Serious as a heart attack. I remember your son, Sister Angie, Chad Truelove, standing right up there, big tear rolling down his face, waving his hands, shouting, giving glory to God. I want him back. I want him back. You know what's going on with them today? They're wasting time that they'll never, ever, ever get back. It's gone. It's gone. Here's what I'm begging you tonight. Don't miss another thing. Don't miss another thing. I remember when I got saved, and I remember when I surrendered my life for God, I wanted all of it. I wanted to be a part of everything I could be a part of. I didn't want to miss nothing. I even prayed and asked God if speaking in tongues was real to let me do that. But I did. I seen them doing that stuff on TV, and I thought, Lord, if that's real, I want to do it too. I'm in it with all my heart. If it was God's will, I'd be a tongue-flapping Pentecostal right now. I'm here to tell you, man. If it's real, I wanted it. If that faith healing is real, I wanted it. Amen. Man, I'd give anything if that was real. I could do that. Oh, I guarantee you, my daughter would have sung right here tonight. She wouldn't be laid flat on her back. I'd done healed that. Yeah. I didn't want to miss nothing. I pray you get that thing in your heart, that desire, that you don't want to miss anything. Don't miss it, man. It's the greatest thing in the world. There's nothing better than serving God.
Amen.
Chris, we love fooling with the horses, brother. I enjoy it, and I enjoy our fellowship, but it ain't better than this. It ain't better than this. It don't. Hey, Miller High Life says it don't get no better than this. Oh, yeah, it do.
Amen.
It gets better than that right here every week, man. There ain't nothing better than serving the Lord. Man, I can remember our entire basketball team. Nobody told them to do it. The year they won the state championship, they'd run every afternoon. You know what they'd do? Brother Freddie, you remember? They'd run from house to house. And they wouldn't walk, they'd run. That's how they was doing their running time. They ran from house to house. Knocked on every door. They knocked on every door in this town. Our basketball team. Man, it's on fire for God. And I promise you, over half that team is not in church tonight. They surrendered to God, but then took it back. This is the way they're doing with God. One of these days, they're going to be flat on their face and need God. And I pray to God they remember how good God is. I promise you, ain't nothing better. Nothing better. You know what that prodigal said? How many hired servants of my father's have more than enough, and I perish? You know what? He got out yonder in the world, and you know what he remembered? How good it was at home. How good it was at home. Hey, it's still good at home. Don't waste any more time. Don't miss another thing. Let's stand to our feet. I'll tell you what I'm going to do tonight.